Good morning, everybody. How are we?
Good morning, Daddy.
I like enthusiasm. Do you know, as I was getting up, Tanya asked me, Danny, do you still get nervous every time you get up to preach? And do you know, the truth is, yes. I get terrified, actually. Absolutely terrified. You know that terror when you know that you have to go to the toilet numerous times, but you know you don't really need to? That's how scared I get. Anyway, Jim, I need to give you a public apology, mate. I forgot to send you the notes to make up the our sermon notes today. So I do apologise. I was in the prayer time and it just dawned on me. Thought, oh, whoops, I forgot. So my apologies, everybody. But a very warm welcome. It is great to see you all. We're looking at a topic this morning that can change and will change the very course of your life, for better or for worse. And we're talking about dating and what a godly relationship looks like. Now, unfortunately, too many people make poor decisions about dating, and their relationships can start off on the wrong foot. Or they can be built on shaky ground. Because sometimes people can go into mindsets about dating like this. Oh, they looked so hot. I just had to ask them out on a date. Or I'm feeling really lonely. And I'm battling my own self-esteem issues. Hopefully, by dating somebody else, I'm going to be feeling better about myself. Or, I just really want somebody to love me. Or, I just want to love somebody else. Some people have even told me that I'm getting older. And if I don't hurry up, I may be left on the shelf. Everyone else is dating. I don't want to be that person, that single. Or, I think that person I met is about the best I'm going to do. Do you know, you don't have to be 15, 20, 30. You can be 75. It doesn't matter the age of us, who we are. We can find ourselves single again. And so this sermon is I think a good reminder of the things that we need to be thinking about if we find ourselves as single people. But before we kick off, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would like to ask that you would enlighten us, that you would talk to us, that you would encourage us, and you may even rebuke us this morning. Father, help us that we would be able to live for you in every part of our lives. Father, we would pray that your glory would certainly be shown in our lives as we live it and by the choices that we make. So, Lord, as we look at this whole subject, I pray that you would talk to us as individuals and we would see and discover and reaffirm what your word says to us. So we'd just like to say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I would like to explore three things this morning. And firstly, do you know what? It's okay to be single. Okay, it's okay. It's a very acceptable choice for anyone to make. You do not have to get married. Let me just put it out there. Not getting married is probably an easier way. All right? Because being married... Now, just ignore this, Logan. Just ignore this, Rachel. Being married sometimes can be a difficult thing. But obviously not for you guys, okay? Sometimes being married can be difficult, so it's okay if you choose, oh, you know what? I don't want to get married. That's okay. Because no matter how or why you are single, do you know what? You matter. You matter. You are loved by the church. You are loved by God the Father himself equally as much as any other person that is sitting here this morning. Your status in the married or not realm has no correlation between God's love and favour for you. Everyone, each one of us, were created as singles in this world. God loved you and me as an individual, and he gave his son for us as individuals. Notice in John 3:16, it states that whoever believes in him, whoever is an individual, whoever believes in him. We read in John chapter 10, verse 10, that God's purpose for us is to live life in all its fullness. It doesn't follow on by telling us that the fullness is only in marriage. But it is in the what and the how that God has called us how to live. So Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 4. He says, no matter what my circumstances are in life, the secret to living life in contentment in every situation is this. He says, I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need to be content in my situation, whether I'm single or whether I'm married. Because some people live as if marriage is a pinnacle of life. But if we actually get back to God's word, let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 7. Now, Paul is answering here many questions that the church in Corinth were asking of him. And he responded in verse 7 like this. He said, I wish everyone could get along without marrying just as I do. But we're not all the same. God gives some the gift of marriage, and to others he gives the gift of singleness. Marriage and singleness are both God-given gifts. They are both gifts from him. Do you know, it's not rocket science to get married. But if you marry the wrong person, or the one that's not suitable for you, you're going to live the rest of your life wishing that you could wind back time and redo that part of your life. It's easy to get married, but it's not as easy to pick somebody that is going to be good and compatible for you. So I've got a number of points. So the first one is remaining single. That is an option that you can take. It's a God-given gift. So remaining single is fine. And the second one, when we think about godly dating, is we need to choose this day who we are going to serve. We read in many instances in the Bible, and we all would have heard or know of people who appear to be strong Christians. And whilst they're strong Christians, they end up making one poor decision that may go against what they believe or they've even preached about. And that one poor decision or mistake seems to lead into the next poor decision and the next one. And before long, after a series of mistakes, a series of bad decisions, they're kind of hanging their head in shame, thinking, oh my gosh, I've really kind of wrecked my life. And before we know it, they drift out the back of the church. And they go back into the world that they've come out of because of decisions that they've made. You know what? And we're all in that same boat, by the way. In my experience, one of the biggest poor decisions that a Christian can make is in the area of dating the wrong person and maintaining sexual purity throughout their lives. So before we even contemplate dating, three questions I think that we should ask ourselves. The first one is, who is really the Lord of your life? Now that might seem a very stupid question to ask when we're sitting in church. Because I can hear everyone, Jesus! He's the Lord of my life. But, you know, we really need to ask, who is it? Is it God or is it me? Is it God or is it me? If this question has not fully been answered, and you choose not to daily surrender every aspect of your life and your will, you have already set yourself up to follow your will and not God's. That's A. B is, do you live seeking His will? It's a really important thing to do. Do I live every day to wake up to seek His will and what He wants me to do and how He wants me to live my life? Psalm 37 has some very valuable advice for each of us. You know, we all like to read and remind ourselves, there's a very famous verse in chapter 4, sorry, in verse 4, it says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. Now, wouldn't we all like our heart's desires to be fulfilled? But we need to kind of read this in context. If we have a look at verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. Now, do you understand what that says there? He will give you His heart's desires when we take delight and follow the Lord first. Okay? It's not just going to happen by us waking up and saying, God, I want you to kind of give me what I want. We need to be seeking, Lord, Father, help us and lead us, speak to us, help me to read your word, help me to apply it to my life. When we take delight, and that as God molds us and He changes us, He will give us a new heart to delight in Him. Commit everything we do to the Lord. We need to trust Him and He will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. This is a really difficult thing to do sometimes, isn't it? To be still. To wait. Like I know for myself, sometimes I will have a very extended prayer time, and then rather than just stopping and listening, I just get on and live life. But I think what's important is when we pray and we ask, we actually need to be quiet enough so that we can hear God too. We need to stop, we need to listen, we need to read. We need to allow Him to speak to us rather than just, well, I prayed and I'm going to rush off. We need to be still in His presence and be patiently waiting for Him. If we're going to live seeking His will, the question is asking ourselves, have we prayed, Lord, what is it that you want for my life? And in the realms of dating, Father, do you want me to be single or do you want me to date, to look at getting married? Because God has a plan for each of our lives. God knows where we are now. He knows where we're going to be in 1 year, in 5 years, and you know, God willing, in 20 years. He knows those things and He has a plan for each of us. And I think too often we can run ahead and think, you know what, God, I've got this. When I get in trouble, I'll ask for your help. Rather than seeking Him and praying and saying, Lord, what is it that you want for my life? And when we are waiting to hear, is how do we be content with what He says as well? Because sometimes we feel, do you know what, I really feel that, Lord, you would like me to get married. I feel that's an okay thing. And then sometimes we might spend the next 10 years praying and waiting for that person to come along. Now, does that mean that God hasn't heard us? No, it doesn't. You know what that means? The right person hasn't come along yet. The Lord hears our prayers. He is faithful and he will answer them. But you know what? God answers things in his timing. He knows who you are and he knows what you need. And it is going to be in his timing, sometimes not ours. And C is this. He says, do you trust him? Friends, if we trust God to provide for our daily provisions, our daily needs, if we trust him for the forgiveness of our sins, if we trust him for answered prayers, if we trust him for eternity, as Christians we trust him for eternity in heaven and not hell, surely, surely we can trust him for his direction for a spouse too. We trust God in all these other things. We need to trust him in every area of our lives. Even though we may be getting impatient or frustrated. Now, I would like... See this fella up here? He is posed with a question. Oh my gosh, there are two beautiful women that would both like to date me. Now, I don't know, but I've never been in that situation. But, so this guy is. Anyway, he's got woman two on his left, and he's got woman one on his right. Now, from the outside, they both look nice women. They both look friendly. They both look like they shower. They both look quite friendly, don't they? And as we're praying and asking, Lord, what is it that you want? Who is it that you want me to potentially look at dating? He might send across number one lady. He might send a path number two lady. Or if you're a woman, okay, obviously looking for a man. Now, he might send number two, he might send number one, and we say, Lord, who is it? These two people look, you know, exactly the same. Who is it? And why do we need to pray and ask the Lord? Because, you know what, number one actually might be far better than number two. And even though we're praying and God can see what's inside of them and we can't, number one actually might be better than number two. But we might be praying and say, well, Lord, are you sure? But he then could say number two is actually better than number one. See, we see the outward appearances. But see, God sees what? He sees the heart. And you know what? A pretty face, you know what, doesn't equate to having a fantastic relationship. A pretty face doesn't mean that they're going to be a godly person. A pretty face, a good-looking fellow, a good-looking rooster there, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to be everything that God believes is going to be the best for us. And so we need to pray saying, Lord, what is it, who is it that I should be dating? Because you know what? Just because they might be this person or this person, there quite often is a big difference between them. So what does a godly person look like? So if we're a Christian and we're kind of surveying the people that we know, we're thinking, do you know what? I really feel that the Lord's okay with me dating and you know, I know a heap of people. Or you know what? At this day and age, you might go on the internet. On Christian dating sites, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you need to be careful. But certainly, so there's all these people. What does a godly person look like? So I'd like to run a few things like that. You know, firstly, do you know what? They've got to be somebody of the opposite gender. Okay? In this day and age, things have certainly changed. Okay, so somebody of the opposite gender. Secondly, do you know, if you are a Christian, you need to be dating a Christian. there are many people that will turn around and say, do you know what? It doesn't matter. But you know, the Word of God tells us otherwise. The Word of God tells us that as a Christian, we need to marry somebody who is a Christian and going in the same direction. And you know what? So I have a simple philosophy. If you don't date somebody that's not a Christian, you're not going to end up marrying them. You know, really important. It's not rocket science. Do you know what? You can't kind of just hope that they're going to become a Christian. If you don't date them, you're not going to end up marrying them. So that's the first thing that's very important. You know, and for this thing, you know, dating, you know, making sure as a Christian we date a Christian, it can be a very contentious issue in some people's lives. You know, we want to be blessed and we want to be looked after by God, but then we choose to ignore one of God's most basic asks of us as his son or daughter. Unfortunately, many people that choose this road get pulled away from their faith and their walk with God because, you know what, it's too hard to kind of balance a relationship when one person is going this way and another person is going the other way. As Christians, we trust that we'll all be going in the same way, that we want to live our lives to honour God and we want to worship him with our lives. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can goodness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their people, so I will be their God and they will be my people. Now, just in this passage is looking at the variances between light and darkness, you know, people that are of and in God and people that aren't. Now, it doesn't mean that people that aren't Christians are bad people. You know what? No, it doesn't mean that at all. That there's some fantastic, many of them are fantastic people. But when we're looking for a life partner, when we're looking for somebody that we want to date that's going to be godly, you know, God says, underlines it, you know what? You need to choose somebody who's a Christian first and foremost. You know, secondly, somebody who is active in their faith and growing with God. Do you know, when I first met Susie, obviously the first thing that struck me was, whoo-hoo, he's hot. But do you know what that spoke to me far more than that? Was, do you know what, she was actively involved in our church. She was our children's pastor at the time. And she lived out her inward faith. She was a real Christian, the real deal. And you know what? As I got to know her, as I spent time, for many years, Susie and I interacted on a very platonic level. You know, she was a children's worker, a pastor, I was a youth pastor, and we talked and we did different things. And I sat back and admired her. Thought, gee, this woman's got her head screwed on. And, you know, and this woman has got a real heart and a faith for God. And you know what? That was the thing I thought, you know what? That really attracted me. You know, we went to the same Bible study together and, you know, Roy Montgomery was trying to set us up for a long time. And I kept on saying, Roy, she's too straight. That's, honestly, that's what I said. And you know what? And the more I prayed, the more we talked, and the more I saw her heart. Do you know what? This is a woman who is really loves the Lord. And this is a woman that is pursuing him. And do you know what? When we went on our first date, we sat down and we drilled each other for a few hours. You know, I had a list of non-negotiables, and so did she. And, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, this is my second marriage. And so I can tell you from the experiences of my first marriage and the things that I learnt, that, you know what, I learnt very quickly that, you know, I need to have a list of non-negotiables. And so we drilled each other. So we sat there down at Glenelg Beach asking each other questions. I remember one of us said, so if we started dating and we got married, who's going to come first, me or God? God will. Big tick. Yeah, and so we went through and spoke to each other like that because we need to be real. And you know what? Somebody who's active in their faith and growing with God is important. Another thing is they need to be open to God's leading in their life. In Luke 12, Jesus tells us that wherever our treasure is, there the desires of our heart will be also. So we need to ask ourselves a question. The person who I may be interested in or who I am interested in, where is their heart? Where are their passions? What do they desire to do with their life? Because that is going to tell you what road they're going to choose to take, what direction they're going to follow as they choose the path of their life. Does it match up with what you want for your life, what you believe God is calling you to? You know, to fulfill what God is saying, I want you to do. Because a happy and a balanced marriage is about both of the individuals fulfilling their vows to each other and also fulfilling what God has and is calling them to. You know, for me, it was, you know, I wanted God to use me in every entirety of my life, so I needed a woman to be exactly that. Somebody that was sold out for God, that put God before me. Okay, the last one we're going to have a look at is a desire to pursue sexual purity. Sex is not for when you are dating or for when you are single. Sex is not for when you're engaged. But sex is only for when you are married. Sex is not dating, single. It's not an action, but it's a bonding of two spirits becoming one. It's a really important guideline that sex is only to be kept within marriage. Now, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee immorality, your body belongs to God, his spirit dwells in you. We need to glorify God with our body. Sexual intimacy outside of marriage, it clouds and confuses the real issues that need to be the foundation of our Christian life and the foundation of our relationship. Do you know what? When we have sex outside of marriage, it creates unneeded guilt and shame. And if you're going to guard your moral purity in a sex-saturated society, you've got to plan for it. If you're going to visit Uluru, okay, you don't want to fall off the cliff, you don't get too close to the edge, eh? And you know what? It's the same as sex. If I'm dating somebody, I've got to make sure that I know where my boundaries are so I don't fall off that cliff. A moment of enjoyment can lead to a life of regret and remorse. You are worth far more than that. And God has called you to worship him with your choice in pursuing holiness. Because we have these promises, friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God. In conclusion is this. If you are really serious about wanting to pursue a relationship and if you are a Christian, you need to ask yourselves these things very carefully. You need to have a list of non-negotiables. You need to make sure that that person has a passion that you have, that you're going in the right area. If I wanted to be a missionary and the person I was looking at dating and marrying said there's no one in the world I'd ever travel, you're not the wrong person. We need to make sure that that person matches up. So can I ask, where is your head? Where is your heart? Are we purposely pursuing God? Are we purposely desiring to honour him in our singleness or in our dating? Do we need to change the course, the direction of our lives? You know what? One thing I've experienced in my life is that God is a God of forgiveness and of second chances. And I would welcome the opportunity to help you to walk in God's ways. To encourage you, to pray for you, to spur you on while we both seek to honour the Lord and be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Friends, your destiny is not a matter of chance. Often it's just a matter of choice. The person that you look at dating, the person you look at marrying, they are big decisions. Don't just throw it to the wind and say, hopefully it's going to work out well. Seek God, allow him to lead you. And you know what? And we need to go through and make sure, see if those people tick the boxes or they don't. And it's okay if they don't. But it's about honouring God. And it's about making sure that we as men and women choose what God desires from us and not what just we want. Let's pray. Father, I would just like to say thank you. Father, this is a really tough subject in so many ways, Lord, especially if we are sitting here this morning thinking that, you know what, I'm really lonely. Or I'd really love a life partner, a husband or a wife. Father, it could even be that I'm sitting here as a single person and this is what I want, but I'm really battling to control my mind with thoughts. Father, could I please ask, Father, that each of us would pursue you, would pursue you with all of our hearts and with all of our minds, with all of our might. At each question and each wonder that we come into, that we would commit them to you, saying, Lord, would you direct us? Would you guide us? And Father, if we're at that stage of dating, Father, would you, one, give us patience to wait for the right person, the right godly person? Father, would you help us, Lord, to be able to say no when we know it's not the right thing? Father, would you help us just to be able to, Lord, to look through your lens, Father, look through your word to know what we should be doing and how we should be doing it? And Father, Lord, I pray that our hearts would resonate with yours and that you would give us the desire, Father, of our hearts because our hearts are in tune with you. And Lord, I would pray, if there's anyone that is here today that is really battling with these issues, Father, that we could talk together, that we could pray together, that we could spur each other on to choose holiness, to choose purity, to choose to honour you. So, Father, we'd like to say thank you. Father, too, we thank you, too, for this food that we're going to eat as we go out for the sausage sizzle. Father, I pray that we would be able to serve each other. Father, that we would be able to look after those with families, those older people in our church. Lord, help us that are young to stand back and serve them and to love them, Father, because we see that example in how our Lord Jesus Christ came and he served, even though he was a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Father, help us to live as servant men and women. And Father, help us to honour one another, whether we be single, whether we be dating, whether we be married. May we live and honour you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to talk more about these things, please, I would love to talk. I'd love to pray with you. It is a hard area and a hard time of life. But please, let us live as true lights of this world. Pray that God would bless your week. And we look forward to sharing some lunch with you.